Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so excited you're here. Every week, I invite a girlfriend to join me on the show, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Guys, before we get to the show, I want to take a moment to thank one of our sponsors today. This Happy Hour is brought to you by the book Taking Back My Life by Rebecca Gregory. Rebecca is often referred to as a victim of the Boston Marathon bombing, but she refuses to see herself as a victim. She is a survivor. Taking Back My Life is the story of how Rebecca has had to overcome so much, including the amputation of her leg, from that painful day on April 15th, 2013, when a terrorist bomb changed her life. But her memoir also shows how Rebecca is a lot like you and me. Her life before the bombing was not always easy, and it took the attack to help her find the focus and spiritual direction that she needed. You can find more about Rebecca at RebeccaMGregory.com. Her book, Taking Back My Life, can be found anywhere you guys buy books. Okay, friends, today you're listening to episode number 138, and my guest is Lauren Casper. I had a great time talking with Lauren, and I have been wanting to connect with her for a while. People have been saying we have a lot in common, and we sure did. Guys, today we talk about changing the way that we talk to our kids about getting married and having kids. That's just a different concept that we have at our house and maybe when we grew up. We talked about seeing the beauty in the midst of brokenness. There's brokenness all around us, but boy, is there beauty as well. Laura and I talk about the day that her son was diagnosed with autism and how that has affected the rest of their life. I also ask her a lot about why she chose to keep her kids' Ethiopian names. And if you've ever wondered, she's going to let you know. Guys, you're going to love our conversation with today. It was a joy to get to know Lauren, and I know you're going to love her as well. Guys, I have a few things that I want to tell you about pretty soon, and I'm not going to do it through the podcast, but I'm going to do it through the newsletter. I will be the first to admit I'm not the best newsletter sender outer woman. But I have a few things I want to tell you, so make sure you're signed up. Go to jamieivey.com/newsletter. I'll have something out for you the next couple of weeks for sure. Okay, friends, here is my conversation with Lauren. Hey, Lauren, welcome to the Happy Hour.
Thank you. So fun to be here.
It's fun to be here as well, because you know how there are people that you've kind of seen from afar. Mm-hmm. You don't know them, you've never communicated, but you see what they're doing.
Yes.
That's what you are to me. So,
well, ditto.
I'm like, this is our first time to ever meet, which is exciting. Which people, when I first started the show, I knew everybody because I was like, hey, you're my friend. Please come be on my show. And then it got to where I was like, oh, there's so many interesting people in the world. And so I get to meet new people. And so more than often, is that how you say that? More often than not?
That's sure.
It. That's, there we go. More often than not, the people that come on the show now, I've never met. And so I'm so happy that you are finally here on the Happy Hour.
Me too. I'm so glad. And of course, and I feel the same way. I've been doing the same thing. Like, I think it was a few years ago, you know, you get to know people in the adoption world too. And
yes.
I'm like, oh, look. And so I think that's maybe how you got on my radar. And then you had the blog and then you started the podcast. But yeah, it's really fun to be finally talking.
Well, it's fun too, because I have a Google Doc, or it's like a form where people can request guests on. And last March, a woman named Sarah, I won't say her last name in case she doesn't want to be known, but a woman named Sarah requested that you be on, and I don't even think she knows you. So, Sarah, this is for you.
Oh, how sweet. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah, and for everyone else. But this is fabulous, and I'm so glad to meet you. Okay, tell us real quick about your family. You have a family of four. What does that look like?
Yes. So I've been married for, it'll be 12 years this summer.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks. And because we were babies when we got married. Well, I was a baby. My husband's
how old were you?
I was 21.
You were a baby.
I look at 21-year-olds now, and I'm like, what? They're not ready for the real world, let alone marriage.
I thought I was 23, and I look back now and feel like that was a baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
my brother's like 26. And I remember when he was 21, I looked at him and I was like, I got married at that age. And he's wonderful and he's great and he's mature. But still, it was like, what were my parents thinking
I
letting me do?
know. I know. We had some of our, my son is in middle school, and so he has this thing called DCOM. It's like a kind of like a little community group type thing for students. Okay. So we had their lead, his leaders over last night for dinner, and one of them is engaged. And I think they told us they're 23 or 22, maybe even. And I told Aaron after they left, we were like talking about dinner and the night and everything. And I was like, man, they just seem so young. And he's like, we were that young too. Like, I mean, I guess it, I don't want to be like the old woman, you know, when I'm like, oh, back in my day, this is how I did things. But I did make an old woman comment last night to these little, young, cute little people. I said, Lauren, this is what I said. One of the guys is, I guess he's like 24, and he's like, man, what if I don't get, like, I could just like be, I'm 24, and then I might not get married till I'm in my 30s. And he's like, I don't know how. And I was like, that's awesome. Like, that is, I was like, I know I'm going to sound like an old
Good for
woman, but there's
you.
absolutely nothing wrong with getting married in your 30s. Like, have
Oh.
so much fun.
Oh, there's nothing wrong. I was actually talking about this exact same thing the other night with friends, really dear friends of mine, Chris and Ashley. They've been married a year and a half and they are in their mid-30s, just like me. And I'm like, and she was making a comment about, well, you know, if they don't have children yet. And she was going into this new situation, she was like, and it's kind of awkward because, you know, we got married older. And I kind of looked at her like, you're not older. What are you talking
We're the
about?
same age.
Yeah. And that seemed like a perfectly reasonable time for you to be getting married.
Yes. Well, I think a lot of people are getting married older.
Yeah.
I think just for a lot of reasons, maybe career or just travel. And I mean, I think it's great. And so, you
Yeah.
know, this is like a great conversation, and I do want to hear about the rest of your family, but we kind of got off here. But
Yeah.
sometimes I've even changed the way I talk to my kids, Lauren, about
Oh, yeah.
marriage. Is that I always grew up and they're like, when you get married, when you get married, when you get married. And we've changed a lot of our conversations to if you get married, if you have kids. Because like I've had this conversation with guests on the show before about how much we set people up that marriage is like this ultimate thing. And once you get it, then life starts, or then ministry starts, or then you can be like a real person. And that's
Yes.
just a false narrative. And so we even say, I find myself saying to my kids all the time, like, you know, if you get married, whatever.
Yes.
Instead of, I don't want them to set up to be 35 and feel like something's wrong with them if they're not married.
Absolutely. And same with motherhood. I love that you said if you get married, if you have kids, because I think that we set up not only the expectation, but also like put those things on a pedestal. Like those are the most important things in life. And so if God doesn't call you to that, then what are
Then
you
yeah,
know?
you begin to feel less than. And I know that we'll talk about that with you because I know you
Yes.
and your husband walked through infertility. And I'm
Yeah.
sure that, I mean, I've had a handful of women on here that have talked about that. And I've never walked through it, but I've, you know, definitely have walked through other storms. But
Absolutely.
it is, we're just setting people up. And so, anyhow, I'm happy that you got married at 21. But if anyone's
Me too.
listening, you are not less than if you are not married.
You
So
don't have to do that.
that's Lauren and I's little rant for the day. So.
I am happy too, though. I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea. I
Right.
don't regret anything. Yes,
Okay,
but
so you're
so.
married to John almost 12 years,
Yeah,
and you
almost
were a
12
baby when you got married. And so then tell me about the rest of your family.
So my oldest, Murato, is 6 years old, and he is in kindergarten, and he came home from Ethiopia in 2011, February of 2011. So he's just been home 6 years now.
Okay.
And he was almost 5 months old
I was gonna
with
say he was baby then.
baby, which is very unusual for international adoption specifically. Even if you are going in with the mindset of bringing home a baby, typically that means like around one-ish, maybe 10 months, but you're not coming home with a baby baby. So it was very unusual. Kind of a bunch of things just happened to make that work out. And then my daughter, Arsema, is she'll be 5 in May. So they're very close in age, but she's 4 right now, very spunky. She's in her last year of preschool, and I hear every day, is tomorrow when I go to kindergarten? Am I going to kindergarten yet?
Girl is ready.
She is so ready. She was ready last year. I mean, she's just ready for the world. So she came home from Ethiopia in 2012, and she was also almost 5 months old.
Crazy.
They came home at the exact, they were both like 10 days-ish away from being 5 months old when they came home. Wow. Two separate adoptions, two very different circumstances, stories, and it just so happened that we got them both at the exact same age, which is really, yeah, unusual.
Mm-hmm.
Just doesn't happen, so...
So two kids, so close in age, like how many months apart are they? 12?
20.
I'm sorry. 20 months apart, but they're going to be 1 year apart in school.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My son has one of those weird birthdays where he technically could be in first grade this year, but he made the cutoff by 2 days. And so we actually did start kindergarten last year and then pulled him out at Christmas and went, you know what? This is not anything we need to rush into.
We did the same thing with one of our kids.
Good for you.
Yeah, we brought my son Amos came home from Haiti in January, and then he could enter kindergarten that fall, and he was so excited because his big brother went to school and that's what he wanted to do. But it was not working. Life was hard, and so we just felt like we weren't kind of connecting and bonding with him being gone so many hours of the day. And so we, like, probably 6 weeks in, we just said, nah, we're going to pull you out.
Yep. Yep.
And it was the best thing we could have done for him.
Absolutely.
On so many levels. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you have two kids. And I'm glad you said, I was going to ask you before we started, so I didn't make a fool of myself, but you helped me out, how to say your son's name.
Yes.
Morato. I'm going to think Morocco and add a T.
Yes, that's exactly what I have had friends say.
Good. Morato. And so I'm assuming that both of these are their Ethiopian names.
Yes. Okay, which was real funny, not planned.
So a lot of people ask us, and so I'm sure a lot of people ask you because they're just curious. Did you always plan on keeping their Ethiopian names?
No, I'm so glad you asked that because, so with Morato, with our first adoption, we didn't have that referral when you get matched with your child when we started the process. And let's see, we started the process fall of 2009. We were matched with him October of 2010. So, you know, you have like a whole year where you're just in the process doing the paperwork, but there's no little person, no face, no name, no anything. And so, I just really wanted something to hold on to, and we knew that we would be getting a boy. That is one thing we knew. And so, we decided to just pick a name, and I don't really know why. It's been several years now, but I don't remember why I just had decided that we would not keep the Ethiopian name. I don't know, but that was what we had decided. And so, we picked the name Tucker, and our baby's name was going to be Tucker. And I have like embroidered pillows with Tucker on it. I have like this little Lisa Leonard necklace with Tucker.
Of course you do. It's your first child as well. Yeah.
All this stuff. And like wall hangings, all this stuff. And then we got to Ethiopia to meet him. And Ethiopia is a two-trip country. So you go once, spend a week there, go to court. Then you have to go home without your baby. And then wait for the embassy to do all their stuff before you can go back. So when we were there for our first trip, all the nannies in the orphanage, you know, were just, he was very loved. All the kids were, but he was just doted on because he was a really sick baby too. And I think he just got a lot of extra attention, but they would all go, oh, Morato. And just hearing their voices saying his name over him, it was so precious. And it just kind of stuck with us, and it just became who he was. You know, when we looked at him, it was like, you're not a Tucker, you're Morato.
Yeah.
And so we kind of waffled back and forth. Well, maybe we'll call him Tucker Morato. I think our plan was always to keep Ethiopian name as a middle name.
Right.
So we're like, well, maybe we'll just use both names when we talk to him. And then we had the opportunity to meet with his birth mom. And when we asked her what his name meant, because we just didn't know, is there a meaning or just a common name? And she said his name means peace. We just kind of went, okay, this is too special, too beautiful. It's who he is. So so we kept it, and that threw a lot of people off. We had people like 2 years later still calling him Tucker.
I bet. Was that a thing? Did you have to let that die? Was that hard for you?
Yes. There was really only, we ended up moving 3 years ago. So, but my husband was on staff at a church. And so it was kind of like everybody had been praying for Tucker and everybody mm-hmm. knew about Tucker. And there was this one older gentleman who just, most people got it. It took some time, but they got it. And this one guy, he just, bless his heart, never could remember and just called him Tucker till the day we moved. And I did. I just had to release that.
Let it go. Yeah. Yeah. both of our kids that we adopted from Haiti have their Haitian names as their middle names.
Yes.
And our daughter, her mom in Haiti gave her the name Magda.
Mm-hmm.
And when we first heard that, I did not like it at all. Like, I did not like it. And yeah. So, but we would get, we were able, our story is different than yours. We were able to visit our kids very often in the process. So every time we'd go down there, we called her Magda because everyone else did.
Right.
And by the time she finally came home, like, Magda was beautiful to me all of a sudden. Yeah. Whereas the beginning, I was like, ew, Magda. And
yeah.
then I loved it at the yeah. end, but it's her middle name. And so,
yeah.
But still, it's special to us as well. So, did you keep Tucker at all?
No.
Okay. So yeah. new middle name, everything?
Everything. So, what's really interesting, and one of the things I just love about Ethiopian culture is that they don't do last names like we do. So, every child's last name is their father's first name.
Okay.
So, here in the state, if we were, or in Ethiopia, if we were Ethiopian, Marato would be Marato John. That would be his name.
Okay.
So, and my daughter would be Arsema John. And so what they do then on the birth certificate and all the adoption paperwork that they make for you and the embassy stuff, all your kids' identification, they know that there are last names in America, but they still keep the Ethiopian version of last names. So he came home, all his stuff, passport, everything, Marato John Casper.
Uh-huh.
And we just were like, oh, that's so cool. So
yeah. I love it.
Yeah. So that's who he is, Marato John Casper.
I love, like, you and I both know that there are so many hurdles and obstacles in adoption. And some of them are really hard and heartbreaking. This one is not hard and heartbreaking, but it's interesting to see how it's just an obstacle and then ended up being so different than you ever thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Which is kind of an underlying theme with adoption and lots of things.
Yeah.
And so then did you just decide to keep your daughter's name since you had already kept your son's Ethiopian name?
Exactly. So when we got into the process with her, when we got into the adoption process the second time, it wasn't with her specifically yet. We were just in the process. And that was actually funny. We were actually going to adopt from Ghana. That fell through. Then we, that same week, got matched with this, or she went on a waiting child list in Ethiopia. And we were like, whoop, there we go. But we had kind of gone into the second process knowing, okay, well, we can't keep his name and not keep our second child's name because that would be really insulting. Like,
right.
we liked his, but we didn't like yours, you know?
Yes.
So
yes.
We're just praying, please let it be something we can now.
Right. Right. Or you could at least like make, you know, shorten and.
Yes. Make a nickname out of it that works. Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. So next year, when you have two kids in kindergarten, have you thought about how your life is going to change?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And what are you thinking that's going to look like?
Well.
Because I remember that was my daughter. My youngest is in third grade. I remember that year before she went to kindergarten and all the ideas and dreams I dreamed of.
Yes. Well, I'm actually right now, I think I'm just going looking forward to all the work I'm going to be able to get done. I kind of
yes.
have a lot on my plate right now and for the next 6 months and beyond. And I'm going, okay, summer's going to be insane. But
mm-hmm.
in August, they both start school.
Yes. Yes. I remember when all my kids were in school the first few weeks, my husband was like, how about you just do nothing for a week? Because
yeah.
although you do work already, I didn't really work that much. I mean, just a mm-hmm. little bit, but I didn't really work like I do now, like every day.
Right.
But you think, oh my gosh, I'm going to have all this free time. And then no, you don't. It's just like you fill it up so quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
and
quickly.
Then you put in all the other stuff on top. Like, I've got to get groceries still. They still want to eat every day. And
want to eat. Yes. Every day.
Every day.
You guys, in January of 2024, I made a commitment to myself. I wanted to get stronger, which meant I needed to get in the gym, which means I needed to move my body in different ways. You guys know I love to walk. Well, it's spring, and spring is the best time for us to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, to tap into your power and build towards your summer you. I love my Peloton. It accommodates to my schedule with a variety of class links to choose from. I can choose a 30-minute class. I can choose a 45-minute class. If you only have 5 minutes, there's literally a class to get you moving your body in 5 minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and every mood. There are classes if you want to hear country music, if you want to hear rock, if you want to go back to the 80s. If you can't run, take a walking class. Need some grounding? Try yoga. If you want to level up, go for their Pilates or HIIT workouts. Here's what I love is that you can move at your own pace. And that is what I'm learning that my body needs right now. It needs to move at its own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take all the guesswork out of working out. You guys, we think about so many things during the day. Let's take the guesswork out. Let's jump right in and let's keep our fitness journey fresh every single day. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. I personally love a good 45-minute hip-hop class. It gets me moving. It gets me excited. It's my favorite genre of music, just ask my kids. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable, but the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Every day. Okay, so you're speaking of work, and there are like three or four different things I want to talk with you about today. But speaking of work, you are a writer, and
yes,
you have a book that releases in about 6 days from when the show is airing.
Yes.
It's called It's Okay About It, Lessons mm-hmm. from a Remarkable Five-Year-Old About Living Life Wide Open. And I know I've read this book, and so mm-hmm. It's super exciting. And I know that you wrote this book after just kind of, and it is exactly what it says, seeing the life through the lens of a child. And I had mm-hmm. a guest on a couple weeks ago before you, Jenny, and we talked a lot about just the creativity that kids have and how we kind of lose that as an adult.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of, it's kind of along the same lines, not necessarily the creativity, but like the trust and the awe and the beauty and the imagination and the fun and the safety and security that kids have and see that we sometimes lose.
Yeah.
So what led you to write this book?
Well, so it was really funny. I've been writing for years, and mm-hmm. some of it publicly on my blog, some of it guest posts, and some of it just in Word documents on my computer.
Right.
And so I've been writing for a really long time, and I'd always had a dream of writing a book one day that seemed really far-fetched and just not attainable. But it was just a little dream I had. And then some things just started seeming to fall out of place, like God's just dropping this out of the sky. But now I look back and go, oh, I can see, mm-hmm. the steps that brought us there, but things just started really happening, falling into place for this to happen. And I kind of went about it a little bit backwards. I know a lot of people have like their book idea and they're really excited about it and they put together their proposal and then they get an agent and then their agent shops their book to the publishing houses. But it starts with a specific book idea mm-hmm. before they have any of the other stuff. Well, I got connected to my agent when I had like 30 book ideas.
Mm-hmm. Who's your agent, by the way?
I'm with Lisa Jackson at Alive Literary Agency, and I love her.
I've heard great things about her. So yes.
Oh, she's like, I was talking about book stuff with my husband last night. I said, Lisa is probably the best decision I've ever made.
I hear you. Yes.
Amazing. But we kind of talked for several months before I actually even signed with her, and emailed back and forth, phone calls, all this. And so finally one day, cause I had this one book idea that was kind of going to walk through my infertility story specifically. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't really coming together. And I had offhand made a comment to her. Well, you know, I keep like a Word document. It's titled my ridiculously long list of book ideas. And it's like bullet points of I could write a book about this, or and title ideas and all of that. And she said, would you mind emailing that to me? I just want to kind of get a peek at it. And so I said, sure. And I sent it to her, and she came back and I'd highlighted like three ideas that she said, these are your strongest. Let's pick two and go for it. And then I came back and said, can I just pick one? That's all I can wrap my brain around right
yeah.
now. I can't pick two right now. And she said, yes. And the title I had for this book, and actually it's the proposal we shopped out too, was the title of the first chapter, Watch Out for Diesel 10. That was going to be the book title in my mind. And I didn't want to write about it first because I just felt like it's sort of felt premature to be writing about what I've learned from my son when he was only 5 years old. I felt like I needed to write all the things down and then wait until he was like 18.
Right.
Because it just felt like, I mean, who am I to talk about anything parenting related when I have my oldest is a kindergartner? You know what I mean? And so I just sort of didn't feel equipped. But Lisa was so encouraging. And when I really sat down with the idea and prayed about it and thought about it and just sat with it, I realized I'm not writing a parenting book. I'm not writing a how-to. This is not an advice book of, you know, how to do it right with your kids. I'm writing simply about what Marato is teaching me right now. And that's valuable right now. I don't want to forget that. And I don't want to lose that. And because I feel like it's so valuable, I know that it's valuable to other people too.
Yeah. Well, and I'm glad that you wrote it. What was the second book idea? Can you tell me, or is that coming out in 2 years?
Well, what was my second book idea? I don't remember what it was. I am working on my second book now, which will come out in the maybe even a year and a half.
Yeah.
2018 sometime. Also with Thomas Nelson. And that changed actually just a couple months ago as well.
Isn't that funny? I'm learning these book things as well about how things just change. Like you don't even know.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the chapters that I think, you know, is interesting. Well, they're all interesting, but one of the things that I really resonated with a lot, because we both of our families have been formed with adoption, was in chapter 9 when you talk about, it's called Look, the Tree Rainbow. And you talk about a time when your son, you know, just sees something beautiful that we would normally pass. And you talk a lot about perspective and just losing the vision. But you also talk a lot in this chapter about just life turns hard, you know, and I feel like that is just a common theme of so many people's story that are listening. I think just we live in a broken world, and you talk about that in here and how as a child, you know, things like that, you started losing that, you know, you give different examples of a neighbor's house burning down and a trip to the Grand Canyon and the bombing that we all remember in Oklahoma, like all of those things. Like I even remember like a very vivid memory of mine is, and I'm just a few years older than you, so I don't know if you remember this. Was the first was Columbine.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I remember watching that. And so like so many things, just we live in a broken, broken heart world, and it affects us as adults. But the whole chapter, which was so good. And I love just what you said about seeing things through your son's eyes and how it helps you right now, is you talk about just seeing the beauty of God, even amidst the brokenness.
Yes.
And so besides, you know, adoption and everything, how has that played out in real time in your life? How are some things that you're really like seeing the beauty of God and God working out things for good, even in the hard and the broken times?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my friend Rachel, who just moved last week to to Alabama. She's my person. And so I'm like, I have this gaping hole in my life now, but, mm-hmm. but she calls it love letters. She'll say, God sent me a love letter today. And it's so beautiful because it's the same concept. It's things are hard. She's a cancer survivor. She was diagnosed a year ago. Thank goodness she's clear now. Her mom died in August. Mm. And so their family has walked through, and her sister's recovering from breast cancer. Her family has just been walking through like deep, hard stuff, like unusually hard season. And she'll still will be hanging out, going to Target or whatever. And she'll be like, oh, I got a love letter today. And she will have found something of her mom's when she was cleaning out the closet. Mm. And it's just those little things of, it doesn't have to be big of, today was really hard, but oh my gosh, my friend brought me coffee. Or, you know, last summer we went through a particularly hard season, and I had actually just finished writing the book because I knew what was coming down the pike. And so I said, I got to get this turned in before we start going through all this. And I was just absolutely dreading it. We were going through, my son was hospitalized for a week, which we knew was coming. It wasn't like an emergency thing, but there was just some stuff that he needed to stay for a week at the hospital mm-hmm. and do all this stuff. Then a couple weeks later, my daughter was having a big surgery. And then, 2.5 weeks after that, I was having major surgery that was
going to,
pretty much knock me out for the whole summer. And my daughter's surgery is really major too. And so I just knew this was all coming. And I kept saying to people and to my husband in particular, I kept saying things like, I just wish I could hit the rewind button or fast forward button and get from today to when we're all recovered and it's over. I just don't want to go through all this. I know we can do it. And I know, you know, God is there, but it's so hard and I'm so overwhelmed, just the anticipation of it all. And I was so thankful I just finished writing this book because it was a reminder, like as I'm writing, I'm like, this is what I need right now.
Right.
And one of the things I found in that season was like my son lost his 2 front teeth during that time. And it was so precious and sweet. And I would have missed that if I hit mm-hmm. the fast forward button, you know?
Right.
It's like they're even in the heart, there are these moments that are such gifts and are so beautiful that you miss out on if you're too focused on the hard, if you're too focused on just what's broken. You know, you don't get to have a nail painting party with your 4-year-old daughter on the living room floor, or just all these little things that pop up in the day to day that really are gifts and really are beautiful. And I wouldn't have wanted to miss out on any of that.
Mm.
So,
it's true. We just had a conversation with our kids. We're just trying to have like, you know, when you're trying to have like theology conversations with your kids, but you have to make it like not heavy theology or else you lose them. We were just having a conversation with our kids about like how God loves us and cares for us even in hard times.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking a lot about how sometimes those hard times in our life are actually ways that God uses for us to know him more and need him more and love him more. And that's a hard concept for a 38-year-old woman. And it's a hard concept for an 11-year-old boy as well. But I hear so many times when people talk about, and I can say the same as well, and this is a theme that comes up a lot because people are talking about things that they've been through on the show. A lot of people say the same thing and they say, man, it was in the hard times and it was in the scary things and it was in those rough seasons of my life where I felt God the most. And I was like daily, I needed him. And it was this closeness that sometimes I miss.
Yes.
And so I always find that it's not odd because God says, I'm close to the brokenhearted. You know, I'm near. And so when I was reading this chapter, it made me think about that as well as like, man, even in like the brokenness that even we experience, that God is so near to us all the time.
He is. And I totally resonate to that phrase of, you know, or that thought of kind of missing it a little bit when you're on the mountaintop, the closeness of walking with Jesus when you're in the valley. It's in the heightened awareness, I think, of his presence, of his grace, of his mercy. It's such a gift. Yeah.
It is such a gift. Yeah. In the same chapter, you wrote a paragraph, which I sometimes feel like some people miss, or I've said the same phrase that you said in here out loud before, and I think it can kind of cause people a little like, what? I don't get it. You said our family was born out of brokenness.
Yes.
This acknowledgement makes people some people uncomfortable, but it's entirely true. Our family is a result of broken hearts and broken stories, and our family is beautiful.
Yeah.
And I know that you're a part of an adoption conference, and I'm sure mm-hmm. you have great thoughts on this, but I say to people all the time that there is no adoption. Like, there's no adoption that doesn't come from broken.
Absolutely.
It is a result of brokenness. And so, how have you, like, have you seen struggles just in building your family and having to, like, when you're, I know you walk through infertility, and so that mm-hmm. may be some building ground of, like, having to walk through that and then building your family on top of adoption, which is beautiful. My family's gone through adoption. Yours is, it's beautiful, like you said, but it's also broken. And so have you had to lay down expectations? Have you had to let things die? How has it been to build your family on this way after walking through such hard times?
Well, I think it's been a gift and it's been hard. It's been both, because there's one thing, and I've done speaking engagements at adoption conferences where I talk specifically about infertility. So these are moms who are adopting after going through infertility, and they can always really relate, but it gives me an extra connection to my kids to have walked through infertility and before adopting, because I can say to them, and we also walked through loss. I had two miscarriages in that journey. Mm-hmm. And I can look at them and go, you lost all of your biological people, and I lost all of my biological people. And I know in a different way, I lost my biological children. You lost your biological parents. We're both hurting. Mm. We both have wounds. And I kind of liken it to puzzle pieces. You know, you've got this inward gash, but our pieces fit together perfectly and make us a beautiful family. And that doesn't mean there aren't scars. And that doesn't mean that things always look perfect, because I mean, I think people focus so much on the redemption side of it, which is wonderful and beautiful, mm-hmm. and we should focus on that. But it's both and. We mm-hmm. also need to acknowledge the loss and the hurt and the pain. We can't just focus on the redemption and ignore the hurt, that, because there is no redemption without pain, right? It's not redemption if there's mm-hmm. not brokenness and pain. And so if we ignore that, we're only seeing half the story, and we're only seeing half the picture, and we're not doing ourselves or our kids any favors by pretending that it's something it's not either. Yeah.
Yeah. Your kids are 5 and 4. Have you had these hard conversations?
You know, so far they haven't been hard. Thank goodness, because I'm like, I feel like I need to do a lot more praying and reading and talking and asking and
whatever. Everything you just said to me, you could say to them, and you know, a 5-year-old level. Yes,
that's right. But so far, it's more just curious. Well, you know, at that age, they forget all the time. Mm-hmm. So like the other night, my son has a little buddy at school whose mom is expecting a baby. And so I guess they've been talking about it, because at first I was like, what? Where did this come from? But he asked me if it hurt when he kicked my belly. And I was like, well, when did you kick? And I'm thinking he literally means like, he kicked me in the stomach. And I'm like, what? You've never kicked me. And he's like, no, when I was in your belly and I kicked it, did it hurt? And I realized, oh, he's talking about like, when he's thinking, oh, when I was in your belly as a baby and I kicked you, did it hurt? And so I had to go back and remind him, you know, no, it didn't hurt because you were never in my belly.
Right.
And so that just kind of led into a conversation. And they're very sweet, innocent questions right now. And we're having the same one like 40 times.
Yep.
So, and that's just where we're at. So he'll ask things like, did she like me? Yes, she loves you. You know, stuff like that. Yeah. And because I did have the honor of meeting his birth mom, I have those answers for him too. So
that's what I tell people all the time. You know, my kids are a little bit older now than yours. And so people would ask me like, man, how do we talk about this? And I'm like, you just talk about it whenever they bring it up. And if they, like my kids now being older, don't bring it up as much anymore. Believe it or not, you're answering the same question 40 times. Yeah. I'm now the one that brings it up to my kids. Yeah. And we do that so that there is no like, oh, do mom and dad not want to talk about this anymore? You know, and then they're going through all these hormones and questions. And then you never want that to add on to, you know, is this a secret? There's no secrets. A funny story, just the other day, we were at the baseball field and it was just me and all my kids. And so there was this like 5-year-old boy. He was standing there and I was talking to my kids. It was after the game. There was hardly anyone around. And he looked at me. He looked at Story and said, "Where's your mom?" And she's like, "Right there." You know, she's just like, "Why would you ask? That woman right there." And Story's like, "Right there." And he looked at me and then he looked at her and he went, "Well, that's the weirdest thing. I never seen a black daughter with a white mom." And I was like, "Well, actually," he said, "that's the weirdest thing. I didn't know a white lady could have a black daughter." And, and my kids just kind of stared at him. Yeah, like no one was offended by any means. He was 5, you know.
Yeah, of course.
I looked at him and I was like, "I know, it's the craziest thing ever, isn't it?" And then I said, "You know, well, actually, I adopted her." And then his mind was just blown. It was like,
yeah,
it was so
a whole
so
new thing.
Funny.
To be
a
amazed.
Whole new thing. Yes, like, but he was just like the most sincere. Like, I have never seen such a thing in my entire life. I didn't know this was possible. So there's that was, you know, I'm sure you have funny stories like that as well of people.
Oh, absolutely. We were in Chick-fil-A in the play area and we always sit up against the glass and our kids are in the play area and they come up to the glass and like kind of make faces or talk to us when we're on the glass. And, his little friend he had found was black as well. And so he was waving at me, blowing kisses and stuff. And the little friend I'm watching, and I can see him mouthing, you know, talking. And I see him ask Maracho, "Where are your parents?" And Maracho just points right there to the people he's been blowing kisses to. So it seems self-explanatory. And I saw this little boy go, "They're white." And Maracho, I couldn't see what he was doing. So when he came out to the table, I asked him about it. He said, "Yeah," he said, "they're white." And I said, "What did you say?" And he said, "I said, yeah. In my family, there's 2 white and 2 brown." And then matter of fact, like, yep, that's the way it is. And then
that's how it is.
Yep. And then he asked if he could get some blue people. And I was like, well, no, but
no, he's been watching Trolls, it seems like.
So funny.
Oh my goodness. Hey guys, real quick, I want to interrupt the conversation with Lauren to take a few minutes to thank our sponsors. The happy hour is brought to you today by Dear Mushka. I know that many of you fell in love with Dear Mushka from our holiday gift guide last November, and I am so glad I get to share about this company again. Dear Mushka is a jewelry brand creating quality and affordable jewelry on a mission. Every piece is crafted with a specific verse in mind, and it comes paired with a verse card meant to be kept by your bathroom mirror and thought of throughout your day. But it's not in a cheesy way, because I don't like cheesy. But for example, they have a Proverbs 3 straight bar necklace that's a reminder that when we trust in the Lord, He makes our path straight. I love that. And I have the Love the Knot necklace, which is designed with Ephesians 5 and tying the knot of marriage in mind. It is beautiful jewelry packed with meaning. I love it so much. God, use the code Jamie for 10% off all your orders before June 1st. That means you can get something before Mother's Day. Yes, you are very welcome. Guys, I also want to thank one of today's sponsors. The Happy Hour is also brought to you by Audible. Audible, do you love books? Guys, like I love books, but do you always hardly find any time to read them? Like I hardly find any time to read them? Guys, with Audible, you get audiobooks and you can listen to those books that you've been meaning to read on the go. Download them to your phone and take them wherever you go. You can take them while you're doing laundry. You can take them while you're working out. You can take them on a walk. They go wherever you go. And with Audible, you own your books, so you can get access to your books anytime and anywhere right from your smartphone. Audible also has the great listen guarantee. Listen to this, guys. This is great. If you decide that you don't like the book that you chose, no worries. You can exchange any book you aren't happy with for another title anytime, no questions asked. You can't do that very much with books these days. Guys, maybe my guest today, you want to get her book? It comes out May 2nd. You can get it on Audible. Or maybe Lauren Scruggs from last week. Her book's up there. A book that I just read this year that I love is Hillbilly Elegy. And I think it'd be a phenomenal book to listen to. Also, Big Little Lies. Oh, that's a good summer reading book right there. Okay, guys, maybe you are committing to a new workout regimen. Maybe that's what you're doing before the summer. You got like 4 more weeks. Increase your reps while you free your mind, while you're listening to whatever you want to listen to. Okay, right now, guys, you cannot make more time in the day, but you can make the most of it. So turn your workout into something more with a free trial at Audible. Go to audible.com/Jamie Ivy to start now. That's a free trial, guys. audible.com/Jamie Ivy. Okay, here is the rest of my conversation with Lauren. Okay, so another thing that I know that you write a lot about, which I think is such a blessing to mamas, especially when they are first finding out that their child might be quote unquote different or be diagnosed with something is that you are walking the road with your son who is on the autism spectrum. And you talk a lot about how that is such a wide spectrum. And I know that just from having friends whose kids are on the spectrum, it's totally different levels.
Yeah.
And so how long ago was it that your son was diagnosed with autism?
It's been 4.5 years now. He was diagnosed really young. He wasn't even two. He was 3 weeks before his second birthday that we got the official diagnosis, but it had kind of been tossed around for several weeks before then, at various appointments. He got that diagnosis so young because it was so glaringly obvious. And it, like you're saying with that spectrum, he was in a very different place on the spectrum back then. And he has made just so much progress and so many strides. And he's now in a very, again, a very different place on the spectrum. So that's why I think if he was where he's at today, it would be really hard to get that diagnosis just because they want to go, well, is it this? Is it that? You know, but back then it was pretty cut and dry, simple, what was going on.
Yeah. So you're a first time mom, you know, you've already walked through your infertility and your parenting and you have do you have your daughter at this time?
We brought her
when you got the diagnosis.
No, we brought her home just under 4 weeks later.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I know, you know, just from walking through a couple of friends while they're getting these diagnoses, and then I have other friends that I've met afterwards. Was this a relief for you to find out, okay, this is what it is? Or was this a denial? I don't really think this is where did you fall on that of finding out, that your son had autism?
I was 100% in the relief category.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. When it first got brought up before he was diagnosed, a speech therapist said he's showing several red flags for this and you need to set up an evaluation. I wasn't in denial. I was shocked. I didn't know anybody with children on the spectrum and I didn't know any adults on the spectrum. Autism wasn't a part of my life whatsoever. I just somehow had gone through life without that happening, which now that you know the statistics, it's like, how is that possible? Or maybe I was just totally blind to it. Who knows? But so for me, I wasn't noticing any of those hallmark signs because I didn't really know anything about it. I just knew my son was struggling and we needed help. So when in between her kind of throwing that out there to us and his appointment where he was evaluated and diagnosed, I was, you know, of course on the internet, I was in Barnes & Noble sitting on the floor with books about autism, just reading everything I could. And by the time we walked into that evaluation, I had it pretty settled in my own mind that he was autistic and everything I was reading was lining up for me. It was all making sense and it was helping us understand Murato. So it wasn't a surprise and it was a huge relief, but it was also very emotional. Even with the relief and even with not being surprised, it was still hard and very emotional. And for me, it was the foreverness of it. At that time, it was also new, you know, it was not a part of my vocabulary or my daily life. And so, it was all so unknown. And so I was just really afraid for what his future and our future would look like. And so there was the relief and now we have an answer and we know how to move forward and we know how to help him with things he's struggling with or not, you know, how sometimes he just views the world differently and that's okay. That's not a struggle. It's just different than what we do and releasing that, like, that's okay. You can do things differently or see things differently. But at the time, I think I thought, I don't know what this is going to look like. And there was a lot of fear involved.
Well, you know, I think that what you're describing, parents can go through on so many different levels. I have a girlfriend right now that is getting diagnoses for her son. And she was talking to me the other day and she's like, I have these thoughts inside that I'm kind of embarrassed about. Like, How is this going to change my other kids' lives? Are we ever going to vacation? Like, is he going to live with us forever? Like, what does this look like for our family? And I think, you know, you're dealing with a 2-year-old getting diagnosis that as a parent feel forever. And granted, they might be. I mean, there's a reality to that as well.
Right.
So what helped you? Like, looking back, you know, you're 4 years or 3 years removed from that. And so I know you could probably look at those things and say, those aren't my biggest worries anymore.
Right.
But granted, they might have been at the time. And so what is your advice to someone who they're living right now in the biggest worries of the unknown?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would say, first of all, if you're, you know, just fresh in a new diagnosis or right in that place of getting evaluated, I would say the first thing is take it day by day in bite-sized pieces, because we got like unloaded with all the information and all the things we needed to do for him. And it was like, we left one appointment with like 3-ring binders of things. Mm-hmm. Like, one was filled of our next steps that we needed to set up all these things for. And the other was just full of information about sensory processing disorders and speech delays and all this. And it was like, I felt like I needed to, okay, I need to sit down this week, read everything and set up every appointment and every therapy and every, because you feel that pressure.
Yeah.
No, you don't need to. You can take it day by day and just do the next right thing. Okay, today we'll think about speech therapy, you know, you know, so just slow down. You don't have to do everything all at once. And that's good. That goes for the fears and the overwhelming feelings and those thoughts too. And I think that mom guilt can get so strong here, because like your friend was saying, I'm so embarrassed about these thoughts. But as you're saying them, I'm like, that is a thought every single mother going through this has thought. Every single one of those thoughts. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. It doesn't mean you love your kids any less. It doesn't mean you don't think they're just as wonderful as any other mom thinks about her kids. It's just your different reality, and those are things that you think about. And to some extent, you need to think about those things. You need to think, okay, this could be our reality. He could live with us forever. Okay, how are we going to change our expectations? How are we going to shift our mindset and our life to accommodate this? And I think just that releasing of expectations for me and redefining success.
Mm.
What does success look like? What does that mean? What does a successful family, what does a successful life look like? Redefining what that meant to me helped me not be so afraid, not be so overwhelmed, and honestly, not be disappointed with things. If we only make it 5 minutes in the bakery with our son, and then he's got to go because it's too loud or too tight or whatever, that was a successful experience, rather than going, oh my gosh, he couldn't sit in the restaurant for 30 minutes with us while we got our coffee. No, he did it for 5 minutes. Way to go. You know, it's just that. Yeah. That shift in your perspective, that shift in your definition of what life, it's getting rid of the shoulds.
Yeah. So good. I'm sitting here. I'm just like, yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Redefining your success and redefining your expectations. I think that people can take that home with them today on so many different things in their life.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was even thinking when you're saying that, I was like, man, I think as from a parent, if we're talking about parenting, you tend to look at other people's lives and think, well, they must be good parents because this is happening. Mm-hmm. But you do that in work. Like, oh, I'm going to look at how she's successful. That must be what success is. And that's not true either. You need to define it for yourself. And so I know that you're talking about, you and I are both talking about specifically parenting and changing your success and expectations, you know, for the Casper family and how that looks.
Right.
But I know people are listening and just going, wow, I could do this in my personal level, my professional level, my parenting, my marriage, all kinds of different things. And so,
absolutely.
That's so good, Lauren. I'm going to think about that all day. Thank you for that. So I know if people, you know, you write about this on your blog, and so people can find more information from that about you as well. And I'm going to have all the links up to your book and everything like that. It comes out next week, which is so exciting because people can pre-order. And I always say that. But let me tell you, I pre-order books all the time. Here's why it's amazing. Okay, I'm going to give my pitch for pre-ordering books. Ready? Because number one, you forget you did it, and then it shows up at your doorstep.
Oh, what a fun.
To me, it's like a fun surprise. You're like, oh my gosh, like this is exciting. My husband has a book coming out in August. I already pre-ordered it. Like, I'm not going to get a book for free. But I pre-ordered it because I thought, this is so fun.
Yes.
So people can pre-order your book right now, and then it'll show up on their doorstep, which is super fun and exciting. It's called It's Okay About It.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Okay, so let's do, what three things are you loving?
Okay, wow. You have caught me off guard because my mind is still thinking about everything.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay.
We switch really quickly from redefining our success and expectations to what are you loving?
Right now, I am number one loving spring. Because in our area, March is usually, I'm up in the mountains, and March is usually still really cold, and we're getting like so much, you know, last year, I think we had like a blizzard in March, and then April kind of gets to where it's like, you might have a warm day here and there, but mostly it's still pretty like rainy, damp, and 40s or 50s. And then May is where you start to get more warm days in a row, but it still gets pretty chilly. And then June is when you can count on it being like warm. I know that's totally different than where you're living.
It's totally different. Yes, I know.
Like,
because I'm like,
talking about
it's warm today, you know?
Right.
It's mostly warm here.
Yeah. This year has been the most bizarre year because it's been warm for like several weeks. I don't know what's happening, but I'm loving every second of it. Like my daffodils bloomed in late February.
Will they stay?
Just shocking because it did snow like all over them randomly. Mm-hmm. One day we just got like this random snow a few weeks ago. And it was 70 degrees the next day again, but they survived it. So I'm like, all right, well,
resilient daffodils.
Yes. I'm just here for it because I am not a cold weather girl. I grew up in California. So this Virginia business is not like winter here is not working for me.
But y'all have beautiful summers. Am I right about that?
Oh yeah, we do have, it's humid. I mean, if we're comparing it to California,
there's no comparison.
There's really no comparison, no. But in the seasons are gorgeous. Like fall is beautiful. Spring is gorgeous. Winter, even with the snow, it's fun to have winter. I just wish winter was like 3 weeks and then we could just get on with spring. But yeah, I don't want to complain too much because it is really beautiful. But yeah, that's my number one thing is I'm just loving that spring is apparently going to be several months long this year. And that's great. Yeah. Hey. I am soaking that up. Three things. Okay. Number two, what else am I? Well, we got a dog, in the fall, which is something I've waited like 11 years for. And so I'm loving all things puppy. I mean, she's not a puppy. She's like 2 years old, but I still call her my puppy. I am loving all things dog right now. I feel like I can finally like be a part of those people. You know, there's like those dog people.
Yes. Oh yes,
and
I do.
Always, like be like right outside that circle. Like I love dogs just as much as you. I just don't have that. You know, I'm one of you. I just don't have a dog.
Like I want to be in this club.
Yes. And now I'm like, I can be a dog person. I can, you know, I can post those cute dog videos on Facebook because I have a dog now. So, it's been, you know, several months, but I'm still like in that phase of just overjoyed bliss of finally having a dog.
What kind of dog did you get?
She's a mutt. She's great. My daughter is a little bit mixed. That's what
I like that.
She's a little bit mixed.
I
but
love
she's
it.
Like a terrier, collie, sheltie mix. And so she's really fluffy. Not fluffy. She doesn't have long hair, but she's really soft and feels really fluffy. She's not too big, which is great, but she's not like a really tiny chihuahua size dog. She's a lot of fun. She's great with the kids. So yeah, she's
That's
great.
That's awesome. Okay. Yeah. What else are you loving?
Okay.
Do you have another thing?
Third thing I'm loving. Donuts. I'm loving
Really?
donuts. I'm like obsessed with donuts. Yeah.
Like any kind, or just driving through and get like, Dunkin' Donuts, or what kind of, just any kind of donuts?
I do just love all donuts. Yes. Okay, so here's the thing. Let me just tell you about my donut thing because
Okay,
it's a
this
whole
is fun.
thing with me. So in California, donuts, like donut shops are a thing. Like there's one on every corner, and donuts are like all kinds of donuts, any kinds you want. There's like Donut Palace, all, and they're like 50 cents a pop. You can get a dozen donuts for like $6. It's great, or
Okay.
$5, because I think they give you like a deal if you get a dozen. Anyway, so we grew up like my parents on a Saturday morning would go get a dozen donuts, and my sister and I would sit down on a Saturday morning and eat the whole dozen in one sitting. Donuts were a big part of my childhood, and they're just kind of everywhere and very affordable and all different kinds, like bear claws, jelly filled, all different kinds. So I moved to Virginia, and donut shops are not a thing here. So
Oh.
problem in my life. There's Krispy Kreme.
Okay, yes.
Krispy Kreme is the huge deal here. That's not really, at least where I grew up, that wasn't really a big deal. There was like Krispy Kreme wasn't a thing, but everybody's like really into Krispy Kreme. But to me, I'm like, yeah, but that's like one kind of glazed donut. That's not like the
You want the
variety.
variety.
I want like all kinds. I want the cake donuts. I want the bear claws. I want the jelly
You
filled. Like I want to have like a variety, and I
need
want
choices.
options. Exactly. So, in this little tiny town I live in, there is one place that home like makes their own homemade donuts. And they're like the cake kind of donuts, and they have different kinds. And every day they usually have like four flavors out, and they let you know, and it's really fun. Like I get on Facebook and see what their status is that morning, because they tell you what like what kinds they're gonna have. Like, are we gonna have peanut butter crunch or double chocolate or whatever? And then so sometimes I'll go with like my girlfriends and get some donuts. But they're really expensive. It's a dollar for like one donut or more than that, maybe. Like, and I'm like, that's not what we need to be doing. We just need a donut palace where you can go get you a bear claw for 50 cents. And that is what I need. So, but I am still really loving that I have this little donut shop, even though I'm paying double what I would prefer to be paying.
Right. The
But that's
market.
my
Yep.
donut rant. Yeah.
We just recently had some really good donuts because my daughter is allergic to dairy. And so it's just hard to find those kind of fun things. But there's a place here in Austin called Guiltless Superfoods, and they make their cake donuts chocolate, but they don't have any dairy in them. And they're so good.
That's a great name for a
I
place. Like
know,
guilt
Guiltless
free, yeah,
Superfoods.
or guiltless. Like that's awesome. You know they've got good stuff because
Yeah. And you
they're.
can they ship. So if you're dairy free, grain free, corn free, soy free, I mean basically I'm like, what's in this? Because it's so good. But there's nothing
Cardboard.
in it, but it's so good. Oh,
So,
it's so funny. Okay, so Lauren, what are you reading these days? Well, you're writing, so you might not be reading.
I do have a hard time. Do you have a hard time reading while you're writing, or do you
Oh,
prefer?
yes.
Okay,
No.
yeah. So, when I first was writing, it's okay about it. I was going back and rereading some books just because I was like, how does one write a book? All of a sudden, I
Yes.
forgot how to write. I just like got this frozen. Like, how does one form a paragraph? Like.
Yes.
So I actually went back and read Love Does by Bob Goff over again in the middle, like right at the beginning of writing It's Okay About, just to be like, how did he form a chapter? Like, what is this look
Right.
like? But I typically don't read much while I'm writing because I just, one, I don't have time, and I don't want someone else's voice to seep into and change my voice and me to start trying to read or write like I'm reading. But I am reading a book right now, by Beth Guckenberger. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She's with Back to Back Ministries. They do stuff in Monterey, California, and well, all over the world, but not Monterey, California, sorry. Monterey, Mexico.
Okay.
Anyway, she has a book coming out 1 week today after mine. So we're book buddies, also with Thomas Nelson, called Start with Amen.
Yeah.
And she, well, this is not her first book. I'm gonna grab it because I have it at my desk here. I'm like making a bunch of noise. Things are falling over. Okay, Start with Amen. The subtitle is How I Learned to Surrender by Keeping the End in Mind. I love Beth, first of all, because, and you can find her, I think, at BethGuckenberger.com. But anyway, I first met her when she came to speak at Creative for Care adoption conference in Georgia and a few years ago. And we kind of kept in touch. And then she came back the next year. And she just has this way of storytelling that you don't even realize you're getting like this deep theological lesson. And then until she's done and you're like, I just learned so much about scripture and about God and about, but you don't realize it. Like it's deep, rich stuff, but she has such a natural storytelling way of doing it that you just go right through it. And then you're like, oh my goodness, I learned like 30 things.
That was so good. Yeah.
So, and she's just really, she's one of those people that you're like, you are so down to earth. You are so wise. And she just loves people really well. You know, she'll just love you. You feel like you're her best friend, even if you've only talked to her a few times a year, you know, and she's just great. And so I'm really excited about her new book, Start With Amen. So I have an advanced copy and that's what I've been reading.
I love that. Have you seen Maria Goff's new book?
I have seen it. I have not read it. And that is one that I want to get. Is that what you're reading right now?
I'm not, but I have it. And she's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks. So I will read some of it. And I've heard great things about it.
Yes. So, yeah. I'm not surprised. I mean, first of all, I love the title alone. I'm like, lovely.
I know. What
an inviting title.
She's so kind. So kind.
Yeah.
I was recently a guest on the show. Well, actually, I have no idea if it's aired yet or not. So I won't say that. But I'm on a guest on What Should I Read Next by Anne Bogle. I don't know if you've ever listened to that podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So she didn't send me, but she told me 3 books. You know, that's what she does. She recommends 3 books to you. So I just went on Amazon and ordered them immediately. But I think I'm about to start Love Walked In by Marissa de los Santos.
I haven't heard of that one.
It's a novel and it's super cute picture on the front and it looks fun. And so that's what I'm about to start. I know I've never heard of it. And I like novels. I don't get to read them. I am, but I don't get to read them that often because I'm usually reading stuff for a work or a guest. Right. And most of my guests don't write novels. So,
Oh, fun.
So that's what I'm reading. There it is. Or what I'm about to start reading. And hopefully I read a lot on vacation, which tomorrow after this airs, I will be going on a vacation with girlfriends. And that's
where are you
just
going?
We're going on a cruise.
Oh, with girlfriends? That's amazing.
There's 18 of us.
Oh.
Is that not crazy?
That sounds amazing. Like if I want to can I get in your suitcase? And
yes, come on, Lauren. This is the crazy thing about it is I think that every occasion deserves a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had one of the girls that's going on us. She designed a t-shirt and then I got us. We all have matching tank tops.
Oh, how funny.
We are so dorky. Awesome.
You're going to look like a tour group. We're going to be a tour group. Like they're going to be like, so what company are you guys with?
Uh-huh. Some of the girls are like, I don't wear tank tops. And I'm like, well, you will for the one. Order it. It's $15. Yeah. Take a picture in it and then you can sleep in it. Because I think every occasion deserves a t-shirt. So tomorrow there'll be 18 girls with some blue tank tops on getting on a cruise ship, which I think is so fun.
That is so fun. That is really fun. I need to get to the season of my life where I can start doing girlfriend trips. I feel like right now all my girlfriends, our kids are kind of all the same age and it's just, you're so needed at home, but we're all so ready for that.
Yes, I know. Some of the girls, it's probably a mix of girls who have kids older, like I do, and then a mix of girls who have younger kids. And it's a way bigger sacrifice for those mamas that have younger kids. Their husbands are having to step up to the plate a lot more than mine is, because my kids will ride the bus to school and ride the bus home and they can make their own lunch and they can put themselves to bed if they needed to. So I hear you. I know it's a big sacrifice on a family when the mama goes on a vacation, but it's much needed. It's so worth it.
Because mama comes home so much happier.
Yes. And even like my girlfriend Amy and I, we haven't done it forever, but we used to go every year for a weekend. And just get away. And she has 3 kids, 1 with special needs, and I have 4. And it was just like this really refreshing. Literally, we did nothing but just lay on the couch and read books and watch TV and eat Doritos. And it was just the best weekend ever. So even if you can do that.
Yeah, I'm thinking that sounds really good. Yep.
There you go. Got to get you some kind of mom trip on the calendar.
That's right.
Lauren, it's been so fabulous chatting with you today.
I've had so much fun. Thank you.
So much. You are a dear, and I'm encouraging everyone to get your book. I know they're going to love it. And thanks just for your encouraging words, because life is hard. And so it's hard for everybody. No one is immune to that. And so thank you for just encouraging everyone that may be walking through a hard season, or for goodness gracious, if it's around the corner, we've heard your words. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited about your book coming out. I hope you have a very fun May 2nd release day. I'll think about you from the ocean. How's that?
Awesome. So. That's right. And I'll be wishing I was with you.
Yes, exactly. Lauren, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jamie.
Guys, I loved chatting with Lauren so much. I want to thank our last sponsor of the day, and that is the book Messy Beautiful Friendship by Christine Hoover. You know, we all crave life-giving, lasting friendships. Lifting other women up in friendships is one of the greatest joys that God has given us. But it's hard sometimes, right? It's hard sometimes to know how to make friends and keep friends. In her new book, Messy Beautiful Friendship, Christine Hoover shares relatable stories of friendship successes and goof-ups. Through honest storytelling, Christine invites you to overcome insecurities and pursue God-honoring friendships in every season of life. Guys, this is also a perfect gift for that girlfriend, sister, mother, or yourself. You can buy yourself a gift. I give you permission. Messy Beautiful Friendship is available now, and you can get it from anywhere you buy books. Guys, my favorite takeaway from the show was the conversation about redefining our definition of success and changing our expectations. That right there will make a huge difference in so many areas of our lives, whether it's parenting or marriage or friendship or work or whatever. It reminds me of what Heather Avis said in episode 132, if you haven't listened to that. She said, hard stuff doesn't equal bad stuff. That is such good stuff. Today's show is edited by Logan Garza, and the music is from Jason Poe. If you missed last week with Lauren Scruggs Kennedy, you need to go back and listen, okay? Lauren walked through a severely traumatic disaster when she was sucked into a plane's propeller and lost her arm and her eye in the accident. I had such a great time talking with her. Plus, she just went out and created her own like dry shampoo line. I used it this morning. Thanks, Lauren, for that. Next week, my guest is Megan Teets, and you may know her from her podcast, The Sorta Awesome Show. It's a great, fun conversation, and I love chatting with her. Guys, enjoy your week. Share the show with a girlfriend and have a happy hour with a friend.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.